Welcome to our show today, folks. It's always good to be with you for Life on Planet Earth, where we look at life as opposed to the type of living that we're mostly forced to do. We're going to go a little bit esoteric in this one, and we'll be reading from a book of ours called The Seeker Journal. That is The Seeker's Journal by Om Prakash Gilmore. Please take a listen. Leave some comments if you want to, and you can go also to visit our YouTube channel where you can see this reading and hear it once again. It's always good to be with you here. Send this link around. Share it with other people. Help support us so that we can grow and continue to bring you all kinds of different information on how we can live. We can have life on planet Earth instead of barely surviving. And now, the show. Welcome to the next reading of The Seeker's Journal by Om Prakash, A Spiritual Journey. We are reading Journey Entry number 7 right now. Please sit back, relax, and have a listen. I made a deal with my guides last night. It was to admit that I had guides. It was to come out of the closet as a mystic who could channel if he wanted. I have been able to do this for years, but the idea of being seen as some weird woo-woo person is something I have never wanted. Whenever I hear people talking about the things that I have experienced myself, I find myself rolling my eyes and not believing it. I seem to have become so much of the victim of material science that I can barely believe in my own experiences. But my guides have told me that if I want to progress, I will have to fully accept myself and come out of the closet as a mystic and healer. I had a strange dream last night. I was in a large, squared, walled city. In that city, there were many leaders who were murderers and cutthroats. Everyone was being held hostage. There were people roaming the streets dressed in black, in large black hats, who would capture anyone who dared to think freely and would cut off their heads. A friend and I found a way to climb over the wall and escape. As we dropped to the sidewalk outside, we could see a sentry headed towards us with a weapon raised. He was far away, standing near an intersection, and a car came by and almost hit him. That gave us just enough time to escape. We ran up a small and adjoining street. We found ourselves in a small rustic city, similar to one you would find in Costa Rica or Mexico. We didn't have much money, but we were free, and it didn't seem that we needed money there. It was very peaceful. We decided to stop in a little restaurant to get some food. While we were there, some of the agents from the walled city entered. We discovered that most of the people in the small town were also agents of the city, spread out into the population to control anyone who might escape. My friend and I began to fight the main two agents. The only way to kill them was to stab them with a dragon's claw. We each had one on a necklace around our necks and tucked in our shirts. But they didn't know that anyone had them. The fight ensued. We were successful in killing them. Then we were free forever. For some reason, they were the only two fighting, and only we had to defeat them to save the rest of the people. The scene shifted to a house that was peaceful. I was settled in and preparing to go and take a class from a woman in a nearby village. As I drove my scooter to her house, memories of the walled city and the village emerged, and the danger that I might end up being trapped in that walled city again if I took the wrong turn. Another dream. I was in a house on the front porch. It was carpeted. The carpet was wall to wall and gold or orange colored. The color seemed to shift back and forth from one color to the next. It was old and worn but clean. There was an old comfortable chair in the corner. I went into the porch with my cat and closed the door. I was happy to be there. It was a place I often went when I needed to relax and be alone. After being there for a while, the front door to the house opened up and a woman was coming out of the front door. She had just moved into the house without me knowing. I was just a caretaker who was to watch it until the owner's return. I said hello. I was very surprised to see her. She thanked me for being so kind as to watch the house and keep it safe. My guide says that the house is my spirit, your body, your mind or ego. It's there to keep the body in place so it can be a container of your soul. The woman represents the higher feminine power of your soul. You have cultivated the masculine and used the masculine energy of the warrior to keep the place safe and protected. Now you have come to a point where your other half, the feminine half, can dwell in the home with you, combining the masculine and feminine energies of the spirit, which creates a powerful whole human being. The previous dream represents a society trapped in the walls, placed around it by the box of understanding that is cultivated and perpetuated by the material world in which you live. Those who patrol the streets are oppressors, not only people, but powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. These aren't the ones who are purposely wicked. They are locked in a mindset of stagnation that doesn't allow the human being to expand to the full potential of their true selves. Your escape from the wall is due to your diligence and the aid of the car that stopped the person from being able to kill you. The other person with you is another part of yourself. The person, though there, is never seen clearly, which designates an inner subconscious part of yourself that is present and working in harmony with you, but is never clearly seen. The woman in the other dream is the same representation. The people in the village are the ones who carry the stagnant mindset of those in the walled city. They quickly work to suppress thoughts and ideas that are outside of their narrow mindsets. The reason you only fought against two of them in the midst of the village full of them is because balance in the universe only requires the balance of two forces. These two forces, when harmonized, create wholeness. During the battle, your success could only be guaranteed by stabbing them in the heart with the claw of a dragon. The dragon represents the earth energy as well as the cosmic goddess energy. The dragon represents the primordial energy that existed and that was bent and shifted in order to create the material world in which you live. By stabbing them with the claw of the dragon, they were converted back into primordial energy. This represents you converting the material mind itself that exists within back into the primordial energy necessary for the teaching and healing that you will be doing for me in the future. Though it may not seem so, the dragon's claw is love. Yes, love and truth returns everything back to its origins and allows it to return to its greater self. That's the reading for today, folks. We'll be doing several short readings, one or two chapters at the time. We hope that you can listen and enjoy. Namaste. Welcome back to our channel again, folks. Today we are going to be reading once again from The Seeker's Journal, A Spiritual Journey by Om Prakash Gilmore. We're going to be reading from Journal Entry 8 and 9. And these are actual the journal entries that were being made at one time, step by step. So if you're listening to the other ones, you'll be seeing a progression of things that were happening. So we pick up with journal entry 8. And of course, this is all nonfiction. It seems that I am being guided more in my dreams than I expected. Many of these dreams are repeated throughout the night. Some of them tend to have twins in them, or two people who are the same. The communication that I have often emphasize or clarify the contents of the dreams. I had a dream where I was walking down the street and came to the house of a person I knew well. It seemed that I was in a Latin American country again, and the owner of the house was Mexican and a very close friend. He was sitting at the table with another nondescript person. I took a seat. When we began to eat, he leaned over and seemed to be ready to spit into my lap. The other person, as well as I, was very upset. He quickly sat back up as if nothing had happened. I told him how rude that was and how unnecessary. The dream ended there. The next one, I was in a small apartment with a friend who I haven't seen in years. He was sitting in a chair across from me. He was teaching me martial arts, and I was telling him about another teacher I had that I was in communication with who had taught me martial arts also. But he and that teacher were the same person. This person had actually taught me in real life when I was a child. The old teacher I was in contact with appeared in the dream and said with a smile, "You have really grown thick." At the time, I thought he was talking about my psychic and physical strength. Later, when I woke up, I realized that it too had a double meaning, depending on the context. Thick also meant dim-witted. I still am not clear of the dreams and their meanings. So, like before, I will attempt to let the spirits move through me to explain the dreams. The explanation. In the first dream, the familiar man was a Mexican. The place you were in was a very tranquil and accepting environment. Many Latin American people have strong emphasis on family, meaning that this person was understood as being family and a very close friend. The nondescript person was also a part of yourself, a part that is working in the subconscious, but not openly visible. Spitting in the lap represents being disgusted with two things, your power and sexual urges. The fact that he was corrected and stopped represents the fact that the part of yourself that thought that such things that are rooted in humanity and earth were evil and dangerous learned it was not true, and that they didn't need to be rejected. As a result, the guilt associated with such things was removed. This can also include your spirituality and the experiences you are sharing now that are more feminine, earth-based, and in-body than the patriarchal religions. In the second dream, the teacher you were sitting with was the internalization of the older teacher you had studied with. The old teacher taught you martial arts and gave you the gift of dreaming and thinking that everything was possible through perseverance. He provided you with the roots of the warrior spirit you have today. Since a lot of the work that you did with him was physical, which involved running, jumping, sparring, and working out, the comment about being thick was about you becoming strong and healthy. You were receiving the approval of your old teacher. You and the inner teacher were witnessing this approval. These two dreams were very similar because you received approval about what you have become. The leaning over to spit is like the comment of being thick. The major action of the character at the table was not to lean over ready to spit, but to act as if he would spit and then sit back as if nothing had happened. The same way that the term thick, which had a double meaning, was used to mean something good about you, meaning that many things that you think of as being negative about yourselves, your power, your tenacity, and even sexual urges are actually good and what make you both fully human and powerful. These urges and doubts also provide you with the humility that will keep you from becoming an overly judgmental ass. Journal entry number 9. She came to me just before I got up in the morning, after I had had several dreams during the night about being in a space at a party with several familiar individuals. She said she was going to take me somewhere as we stood on the deck of a fishing boat in the North Sea up near the Arctic Circle. I extended my hand and took hers. We arrived in a large room. It looked very old. There was a lot of dark wood paneling and windows with shutters open inward. She moved close to me and stood in front of me. I could feel her hand sink into my body. It was painful. I could feel my body start to vibrate as if it were in fear. She moved closer. "Hold me close and share my energy," she said. As I did, the pain and shaking subsided. Suddenly, I could see a bright purple sheen fill the room. "Look around and take note of what you see. Really look around," she said. I surveyed the room. I looked at the books, a large table in the corner. There was a bookcase there. Outside of the window, I could see the sky. It was cloudy, but a beam of light shone through brightly. She moved her hand to another point in my body. I suddenly saw a flash of green. Like before, I felt the pain, but when I held her close, it went away. It was in the same space, but it looked different. "Look around the room again," she said. "Take note of it." I looked around. The room was much larger this time. It looked like a giant loft apartment with everything in an open space layout. The sky was more evenly lit as I looked out the window. Everything was changed, but it was so slight it was hard to notice. And then as I stood there, I couldn't recognize the difference. She moved her hand again. I felt the pain, and then red light began to flicker and cover everything. I found myself in a small space. There were several walls now in the same space with rooms crammed with odds and ends. It was the same space with the same content, but divided into separate spaces. I looked out the window. The whole sky was slate gray. I then returned to our meeting space on the fishing boat in the North Sea. I could feel that my physical body was slightly ill, as if I would vomit. She said, "It is impossible for you to skip dimensions. The root that keeps you tied to the dimension is not your body or its physical limitations. It is your ego. It is the soul that carries the mind and depends on the ego to hold you in place. When you shift from one timeline to the next, because of the nature of time, you don't shift. You are just in your own timeline. There is a communal timeline and an individual that overrides the communal one. As your dimension shifts, the mind and ego quickly shifts and defines the reality using the tools it had in the previous one. So that this one, in essence, becomes the previous one. Your line, in essence, is always aligned with the communal one while separate. Time is like a DNA spiral, with one side of the ladder being universal time and the other individual time. When you shift your reality, it separates from the universal time, floats free, and then connects with another universal line. You are already shifting realities throughout the day as you take in new ideas and decisions. You are just not aware. To be aware, your mind would have to expand into the universal mind. If that happened, you would not have experience. You would just be. The universal mind has experiences by creating the world of duality. In essence, if you destroy the world of duality, you come into nothingness. Non-duality is a dualistic concept. If you think of it as a world where duality no longer exists, all possibilities exist in reality. Don't make a mistake and strive for non-duality, because it is only another concept which is not the real. Reality is the slipping in and sliding in and between worlds by the self with the small s and the larger self. It is motion and stillness. Take a few deep breaths and hold me again and your upset stomach will settle. What you have done has drawn on a lot of energy. The reason your stomach is upset is because you have used the mind that exists in the gut to move beyond your everyday experiences to experience other dimensions. The brain cannot do that. Only the gut and the feelings. The gut and the heart have the power to move beyond your concept of time and space. It is necessary to have both working, to be a whole individual who masters both. That is the only way you can explore reality and experience it as you would like. You must be whole, not dualistic or non-dualistic. And that is the end of the reading today, folks. The Seeker's Journal, A Spiritual Journey by Om Prakash Gilmore. Thanks for being with us today. Please hit the bell, subscribe, visit our website. See the things we're doing and help support this channel basically by leaving messages, subscribing, and checking out the things you might like at our website and joining them. Have a great holiday season and a beautiful life. Namaste, folks.